I hope I won't have to be stepping over lasagna plates when I'm there next week.
Probably.
It's always such a special treat to spend time at your house, Mickey.
Well, you make the effort, and then we'll make the effort.
I'm making the effort. I'm driving 4 hours one way.
Right. One way?
Yes, it's 4 hours in one direction.
But you're planning on leaving eventually, right?
And then it will be 4 hours back.
Oh, so it's actually 8 hours both ways, then, is what you mean.
Right, it's 4 hours one way.
But then it implies you're just traveling one way.
Yes, because I only travel in one direction to get there.
I'm trying to change my mind about this agreement.
Fort Max, back me up on this.
Oh, yeah. God. No. Not.
Ken, why don't you come and back me up and...
Well, I am trying to see if I can afford to drive at the moment because we hit another little financial hiccup this week.
Oops.
So, let me see what my paycheck is like this weekend. And we'll see.
It was another hit and run, wasn't it?
No, not quite.
Another snake in your car?
Oh, man. I almost forgot about that.
We'll never forget.
Oh, you know, but what was worse is like...
And we'll never let you forget.
What was worse was like 2 weeks later when I opened another door and found just like a whole snake skin inside of it. I was very nervous getting in my car for a while after that.
I wonder why
it could be worse.
I wonder why they don't make condoms out of snake skin.
Those are like cowboy condoms.
Because then wouldn't their whole purpose be to fall apart?
Aren't they already?
What if you had a bunch of dry skin on your penis so you could just like peel it off like dry lip skin?
As much as it hurts when you peel it off your lips, I can't imagine what it would feel like when you peel it off your dick.
But you have like your dick would shed its skin like an empty dick shell.
If you could get it all to come off in one piece. Because otherwise you'd have to get, like, you know, some plastic and glue it around it and reconstruct it.
You could hot glue it around it.
Yeah.
Well, hot glue is kind of the point.
It comes from the point.
I can't believe JD's missing this.
Well. I'm right here.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
I blame JD's poop.
Hey, Mickey.
You know who else I hate? The Irish.
Paladin.
There's always room for wieners.
Ken.
Hard knuckle is also acceptable.
JD Church.
Enough lube, anything is possible.
And Fort Max.
I am actually Aldo.
Okay, so we're starting now, and it's superhero time.
Hooray!
Already? Said no one ever.
Oh, sorry, I was watching the big game.
Oh.
The big game?
No, the game with the feet balls. Or something.
Oh.
Go, local sports team!
Yay, sports ball.
What if it's
Did you see that ludicrous display last night?
Wait, what if it's hockey, though? That's not a ball.
God, I can't remember how the conversation starters go now.
Well, in fairness, a football isn't a ball either.
It's more of a ball than a hockey puck is.
What shape is a football?
It's definitely not a foot.
It's an ellipsoid.
Well, so what is it Dan calls it? Hand egg?
It's an ellipsoid.
Or, you know, as most people call it, baby rugby. I've never actually watched a real rugby game, but from what I've heard.
Okay. A football is a prolate spheroid, which I'm fairly certain they have creams that clear those up.
Did you say prolapse?
Yeah, I thought I heard prolapse.
It always comes back to the prolapse on this show.
Well, speaking of things that fell out of people's asses, what's in the news this week, Paladin?
Let's see. We may know who the director is.
What, nobody liked that segue?
Wow.
Off cliff.
Wish I hadn't, but yeah.
You may proceed.
We may know who the director is for the Heisei versus Showa movie war now.
Do we care?
Probably not, but still, not much else happened this week.
Is it Sakamoto?
No.
Yay!
Okay. Wow, I wouldn't imagine we said that a couple years ago, but who is it?
Yeah. I am definitely going to screw this up, but Takayuki Shibisaka.
Okay, and what has he done?
He's directed Gokaiger versus GoBusters. And Kamen Rider O's Wonderful. Exactly.
Yeah.
Do we know who's writing it?
No.
I was going to say, the problem with O's Wonderful wasn't the directing.
Well, no, I guess not. But still, it's not...
It's not a good thing to be associated with.
Yeah.
I mean, Gokaiger versus GoBusters looked pretty good. It had some pretty dynamic stuff in it. So.
It was okay.
No, it was pretty good.
It was better than either
the Tyson movies or
it was okay.
Let's go Kamen Rider in terms of direction, I think.
Yeah, I'll stick with okay.
It was saved really hardcore by the fact that it was Gokaigers and GoBusters, but I wouldn't say that it was like great. Anyway.
I think points to us for that synchronized groan at O's Wonderful.
Yeah.
That was really amazing for being completely spontaneous like that.
Yes.
And also the original Kamen Rider X is back for the movie.
Interesting.
Which is a random choice.
He's still alive?
but then so is Kaiza, so
can they combine? Kamen Rider Kaiza? That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't.
No, because that's the way Paladin pronounced that name the first time he tried to say it on the show.
Exactly.
Good job.
And other news, Bandai Webshop has a pre-order page up for that Agito art from the opening.
Because why
Does
not?
Does anyone remember what that is and why should we care?
Well, if you liked Agito.
If you like that one thing from Agito's opening that wasn't the song.
Yes, Count Zero is the number of fans who will purchase this.
You know, I like the song well enough, but that was such a nothing opening sequence.
Yeah, it's the song that really saves it.
You know, it's the riders riding their bikes around a racetrack.
Kamen Riders on motorcycles?
For a minute and 20
seconds.
Kamen Riders
on motorcycles.
Kamen Riders!
There's a reason why the opening that they link is the second one.
Even that's not that much better.
There should be a Kamen Rider Chips crossover.
Oh my god.
Dude.
Well, I mean, there is the Rider Chips that...
But can you imagine Ponch doing a Rider Kick?
Oh my god.
Well, not anymore.
I can now.
No, I'm not old enough to remember Chips.
God, that would be awesome.
Paladin, how old are you?
28.
You're old enough to remember Chips.
Dude, it was on reruns forever.
Yeah. It was on reruns as recently as, like, 2003.
Yeah. See?
You're not as young as Fort Max.
And you're still not giving me a reason why I should care.
Fort Max's balls haven't even dropped yet.
Nobody's.
So what route do they take?
The art itself is about 17 by 12 inches.
As Fort Max tries to bring it back around.
And it also has an art book of something.
We desperately cared about that.
An art book of something.
Yeah.
That's all this is, an art book of something.
Is it like maybe, you know, an art book of the monster designs or...
I don't know. I haven't bothered trying to... I haven't had the...
So...
I haven't cared enough to try to put it through Google Translate.
So basically, this was important enough to mention, but not important enough to actually have information on.
I guess Fortmax thought that an art book about something is at least slightly more important than whether his balls have dropped and what path they took to get there.
I think he was just trying to change the subject.
Meanwhile, as I load the page to try to actually find some information for us.
Well, we have to have it now. We could have just not mentioned this, but no. Now we must know.
I have no idea.
Don't care. Moving on.
Okay. Bluefin has picked up the Kamen Rider Black RX and Acrobatter renewals for release. They'll both be out in May. RX is $35 and Acrobatter is $44.
Hmm. Sure.
Go Bluefin.
Sweet.
Ah, it's still good that stuff's getting released.
Yeah.
And renewal Black RX looks pretty sweet.
He looks a lot like Saban's Masked Rider, but too much for my taste.
A little too bright?
No.
Sadly, there is no
character.
No U.S. exclusive first release bonus Furbus.
I'd probably buy that if there was, honestly.
Yes.
Hmm.
It would be like a trophy, a monument to bad things.
Isn't that why you started this show?
Either that or because I hate myself. I'm not sure.
Still not sure? After all this time?
Well, once I know for sure, we won't have to keep doing it.
So let's see what else happened this week. Okay, in a surprising move, Amazon has put up pre-orders for the Complete Series Power Rangers Samurai DVD, which is listed as a manufacturer-on-demand item.
That's never a good thing.
I'm guessing that demand will be extremely low.
Yeah, considering it's available everywhere.
Well, I mean, the manufacturer-on-demand thing basically is someone at Amazon with a home computer just burning DVDs and shipping them out to you.
Well, yeah, actually, that basically is what it means.
Totally.
Yeah. But it's the only way to get some things, like, say, the Max on DVD.
Wow.
Well, that's Power Rangers Samurai for you.
Yes. And in that vein of horrible, I've been putting this off for a couple of weeks, but there's a near full episode listing up for Power Rangers Super Megaforce now. You can pretty much spot every Gokaiger episode that it all came from.
Just like the Power Rangers Samurai list that was also released around the same point.
It is. I'm so disappointed. I'm like, I really hope they would try to go a little bit different direction.
Well, on the bright side, you can now walk down your toy aisle and see Captain Marvel staring at you, so...
But this there are some unusual choices, because they do seem to be adapting the Car Ranger episode, of all things.
And they seem to be leaving out the Hurricane stuff.
Yeah, which is a big disappointment.
I'm really fine with that, actually.
But you know, that is like just a whole chunk of episodes right in the middle that they're just not even going to touch, because they can't use Hurricane Gokaio now.
I'm fine with that, really.
Yeah,
but...
I never really liked that upgrade.
Or they'll touch it and just, like, reuse Shinken Gokaio footage. Because why not?
Or why the f*** not?
Or they just chop...
That should be the entire motto of Super Megaforce. Because why the f*** not?
Or they just chop it down so much that the Ninja Storm just runs in. Here's your Megazord, bye! And they go back to the regular episode they were in.
Thanks, buddy!
Actually, that wouldn't surprise me the way things kind of go with things lately.
And it wouldn't even
be
one
speed of
the
ninja.
It wouldn't even be one of the like cast members. It would be the CGI guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
With a different voice actor.
Okay, so
yeah.
If they were going to bring over the Ninja Storm accessory Zord, what price point is that thing going to be at?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Maybe the same price point as the Lion from regular Megaforce.
Yeah, that's kind
extra
of what...
figures with it.
I don't know. I mean. That Lion seems pretty big. I mean, it's pretty obvious Macalkin will be that.
Yeah, at a minimum.
Yeah.
But I found the accessory Zords today, and there's really not much to them.
I haven't seen those yet. I've seen the...
just motorcycles, right?
I've seen the Morpher and the Gokaio and the keys and the regular figures, but...
Well, okay, when you open the box for the accessory Zords, you got the key on the left... A bunch of empty space in the middle, like three-fourths of the box is like empty space.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And then you got the Zord on the far right-hand side, like plastered up against the wall. And a little rubber figure just dancing about on the inside.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a complete waste of space.
And also a good motto for Super Megaforce.
Bandai!
Feels kind of like a ripoff, actually, a little bit, sadly.
But with Bandai? Shocking.
Well, okay, well, with the Samurai Accessories Awards and the Megaforce ones, 15 felt high, but I felt kind of satisfied by what I got. I'm kind of not feeling it with these.
Crap.
Now, were those just better Zords overall, then?
I guess so. I mean...
Good enough to not feel like a ripoff?
I think what the problem might be is that I've always thought that Gokaiger did not have a strong mecha set.
They don't.
Yeah.
And it's kind of translating into my satisfaction with the toys, I guess.
No, I mean, that makes some sense. Gokaiger was really visually cool looking, but the overall theme of basically unthemed add-ons being clamped on because of, you know, legacy series. Yeah, I mean, that never was a very strong concept.
I think the only combination that really worked strongly was Shinken Gokaiger. Yeah.
And I think that's just because of the color unity.
And it changes half of Gokaiger as it is.
Mm.
But on the plus side, though, everything is still Zord Builder, which remains Bandai America's best invention ever.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking they're going to have a hell of a time with that when Go Busters rolls around.
Oh, not really.
Well, I mean, they could always just completely redesign.
It depends on how it breaks apart.
They could completely...
They'll just pop them off at the arms and just call it the day.
Yeah,
I mean, they could completely redesign Go Buster O.
Yeah, if Ace's arms can pop off somehow, then it could still work.
Well, they could redo
that, I think.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be too hard of a change to make to Ace.
The approach that they did with the 2010 Megazord, where the arms just detach. Anyway,
and the Ghost Eye Great Megazord.
For whatever reason, they decided to do Legacy.
No, you got that right. Ghost Eye Great Megazord.
No, the one that the surfboard.
With Ghost Eye Ultimate Megazord.
That one, yes. He's Zord Builder compatible. His arms and legs just pop straight off.
Oh.
And I could, if they continue with the Legacy Zords and go to the Thunder Zords on, they could easily do that with just having the arms and legs pop off of the Red Dragon Thunder Zord, too.
I would be so down for that.
It would look terrible, but yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about the slim proportions of the Red Dragon Thunder Zord as the center of a Megazord combination with no armor over the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
That would look pretty horrible. But no, to the original point, I mean, the only thing that was cool about Gokaiger was its appearance, and like the combination thing never really mattered to me. I think that's why the only way I wanted to get a Gokaiger was like the Super Robot Shogokin if I could have got a cheap enough price on it. Probably will pick up the Retro Fire, though, whenever that hits.
Mm-hmm.
It should be fairly soon, I think.
I would think.
Speaking of the add-ons, though, I'm looking at this Gosei Great Zord armor for the Gokaiger US. Oh, God. This looks awful. I mean, props to it for, like, making a replacement helmet, but even when you attach the arms to it, it puts the front of the ship way up in the air, and it almost closes on the head. Oh, God. It looks bad.
Do you have a link to this?
Yeah. Hang on.
Well, he looks for that. Also, this week, we had pre-orders open for Figuarts Sailor Venus, which is kind of weird.
Why is that weird?
Because prior to this, we thought they'd be
going wrong order.
By order of, you know, in-show appearance, which would mean Jupiter would be next.
But I guess Venus is more popular.
Ah, yes, this thing does look terrible.
Venus probably required fewer new parts.
They can reuse the cat.
Is that a chainsaw?
Yes.
But, you know, the red version of this armor, you can pop up that cannon arm and plug it into his chest.
Okay.
So you can get the Gokai cannonball chest thing going.
Ah.
Which they completely gimped on the regular release.
I don't even know what this is supposed to be.
It's like a blue version of the...
It's the Q-Rex Mark 2.0. Which actually is the American name of Gojujin, apparently.
No. Well, this Gosei armor is the... It's just a blue version of the... Go say great, I guess.
No.
Go say Megazord.
Go say ultimate.
I mean, it's got.
If you look at it, you can see the dragon head. You can see the shark. Yeah, you can see
helmet's
all the.
Helmet's different.
Yeah, the helmet's different, but if you look at the main body.
Yeah, it is. Oh, okay, I see.
It's very impressionist, but.
It's very distinct, yeah. That's
very if you described it to a blind man and had him sculpt a Zord armor,
he would probably do a better job than this.
Yeah.
And why is one hand a key? I don't. Why?
I believe that's your Megaforce key for your Morpher.
Yeah, but. Why? Why not have a regular key?
Maybe he's from Kingdom Hearts.
Why?
Why?
A summary of Megaforce in one voice.
I really want to like this shit, man.
I know. I've been trying for a while now.
Why are they doing this to me?
Like, we were trying to be positive. You won't let us.
I can't remember. Mickey, did you have a chance to talk about your Super Megaforce figures that you got?
Oh, no, I guess I'd have not. Well, first of all, I was under the impression for whatever reason that figure arts were 5 inches, even though I really should know that they're 6 inches. Mm-hmm. So I was a little surprised and disappointed to find out that the girls in the Super Megaforce line are really short next to the boys. So I solved that problem by shoving them into my key chest, so it kind of masks how short they are because you can't see their legs.
Right. Wow.
But in terms of actual quality of what they actually are, they're okay. I mean,
they're passable then?
They're passable, yes. I don't see this new articulation they're talking about adding in for the going up an inch in scale.
Yeah, looking at the package, it looks like the same articulation, just bigger.
Yeah. They are capable of holding figure arts weapons.
Woo!
That's a good plus.
Yeah. The fact that they're still $8. That's great.
Oh, that mm-hmm. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
I figured they'd be, you know, 12.
No, Target $7.99, and I think at Walmart they're going to be $8.49, I think.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Paint's good on them. Yeah. For the collector on a budget who wants Gokaiger toys, you could do worse than buying these.
Yeah, like the smaller figures.
Right. However, if you have half a team of figure arts of Gokaiger, you're kind of still f***ed.
good thing I have a whole team.
Quiet, you.
Yeah, you shut your horror face.
On the other hand, your team will not be compatible with the Walt's Gill figure, so.
He can just stand on a shelf away from them.
Well, you know, the 5-inch size would probably work if you posed them, you know, cowering in a corner.
Yes, exactly. Or, you know, with Marvelous towering over him.
Well, what about the dump troops?
They
could be small, too.
Yeah,
they'll just be lying in a pile around their feet anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm going to have to troop build the dump troops, aren't
you? Yeah, you're going to need to get 4 or 5 of them and stack them up in a pile for Marvelous to sit on top of.
No, I'm going to stick their heads to the top of the shelf so they're hanging from the upper shelf.
Oh, God.
Put like little magnets in their heads.
Make a throne for Marvelous out of them.
Totally.
No, they're not Autobots.
Yeah, really? God.
Man, I should get my skids and Universe Prowl down and try to form them into a chair.
Totally.
Later.
I think that was the most important thing Skids did in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Did he do something else?
Yes, he immediately blew up after driving into Prowl earlier the same episode. Which, as I understand, is actually accurate to the performance of the car that he was based on.
Wow.
So, there you go.
Hmm.
So, do we have any more news?
Kind of. There was a new interview with Gaim head writer Gen Urobuchi this week.
Ah, yes.
Where he admits that even he found the concept of an orange rider ridiculous.
What does he do? He just plays it straight.
Think about it as a toy.
I Honestly, though, I mean, if he could come into it, look at it as being completely ridiculous, and turn it into this, you know.
That kind of proves he's a damn good writer, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's more than a little skill.
And this is the one where he said that's like, in the next few episodes, you're going to kind of like see Kota become a Kamen Rider, more or less.
Right. The interview was conducted around episode 7. He said he'd written 19 episodes of the series at that point. I think 19.
So they're kind of going for consistency here lately. Between that and Sanjo writing all of Kyoreager.
And he says in the future they will start to explore the meaning of justice, so it will be more like a typical Kamen Rider show.
And no spoilers, but you kind of get some hints of that in this week's, too.
I guess it makes sense, though, since we spent the first, 10 episodes or so watching Kota become an orange, that after that we would start to see him becoming a Kamen Rider.
Now, see, what I kind of like, though, is that a lot of times, especially here lately, with Wizard or Double, you kind of get people already started as being a Kamen Rider, or once they get their powers, they're like, okay, I'll be a hero now. This, you kind of get to see Kota's progression from, okay, I got these awesome new powers, I'll use them for myself. Oh, no, that doesn't work. I won't use them at all. Oh, no, people are in danger. And now you actually get to see him become an actual hero.
Yeah.
Right. No. And hopefully not just him, because they're really, trying to branch out and explore the background for each Kamen Rider in the show.
I suspect the same is going to hold true for at least Kaito.
I have my doubts about Zangetsu, but Ryugen and Baron probably...
About his development or about his survival?
About the progression into becoming, like, a heroic character.
Yeah, I don't see that for Zangetsu, and I'm questioning it on Ryugen as well.
Ryugen's going villain for a while, for sure. I guarantee it.
Yeah, it's a toss-up on Ryugen.
That would not surprise me or disappoint me right now.
But Gaim and Baron definitely, because Baron, he is the secondary writer, even though the show has not treated him as such yet.
Yeah,
it's been more.
I had this epiphany in the shower. Not that. I was thinking this morning. I'm like, who Kaito reminds me of? He reminds me of Zex Marquise. It's like he's got that.
In the shower. And you're thinking about a 19-year-old blonde dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's 19.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, I'm thinking about like the character in terms of like, coming from like this lost empire, so to speak. I mean, yeah, it was like a garage, but but like that's his like drive. Like his drive is to like get enough power to be able to.
And he starts antagonistic, but...
Yeah, he starts antagonistic, but yet his real motivation is, like, to get enough power to overthrow these people that took over his shit,
actually,
That took over the apartment complex he lived in.
Hey, apartment complex, pacifist empire, I mean, same, I'm saying? Like, they're very similar.
They took over the whole
city. Yeah, totally similar there.
They took over the whole city, though.
Right.
I see what you're getting at, and I can see that.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you. I'll remember you're here this week.
Thank you.
Until he drops out again.
Or until Paladin's microphone stops working and we don't notice.
I read about that. That sounded awesome.
I still haven't gotten to that yet.
I thought we just made him angry.
I did, too. I thought he got bored and just stopped paying attention.
I was talking the whole time, and I assumed you were all ignoring me just to be dicks.
Either is possible.
Yeah, honestly, that's...
We are never passive dicks. We're active dicks.
Yeah.
What do you say?
That's true.
Yeah, and if we were constantly interrupting you, we'd be commenting and laughing about the fact that we were constantly interrupting you.
Let me ask you a question, Paladin. During that time last week that you weren't saying anything, were you making, like, train puns at any point?
I don't even think I was, no.
Because, I mean, if you were doing that and nobody was reacting, that would be a good sign that we just can't hear you. No, just ignoring you isn't any fun because you never go away.
Even after all that, even though you thought they were sitting there being dicks to you, you stayed the whole time.
Well,
I'd rage quit by that point, but
give give him some credit. Paladin's a trooper. He totally stepped up and took over that Pacific Rim show when JD decided to be a bitch about it.
He did.
Oh, yeah, and that turned out totally well, too.
I never listened to the whole thing, but I'm sure it was fine.
I didn't either, because I tried to be on, but my connection wouldn't let me.
But still,
I wasn't.
Well, I could have been on, too, except I was doing better things in North Carolina.
Who?
Did we run out of news?
I think that's all the relevant stuff this week.
Oh, thank God.
Problem, JD?
No, it's just some boring shit in there.
Okay. I guess that means it's time for fruit.
Woohoo! Woo!
Hooray!
And I'm doing this one.
Yay.
What? You want to do it?
Yeah, well, whatever.
Let me take the boring episode.
Because I can make it entertaining.
It starts with a little exposition, but they had a break.
It's just okay, a bit of a come down after the excitements of 10 and 11.
Yeah, but you know,
this episode is necessary, but it doesn't stop it from being dull.
Well, you know, trust me.
I thought there was some good stuff in it.
The next one makes up for it in spades.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the next episode, yes.
Oh, you have? Good.
this episode should have been titled Prelude to Chapter 2.
Yes. So now we're into actual Chapter 2 instead of what we thought was a Chapter 2 before.
So Kota and Mithy are playing the home version of last week, These Three Things Happen, as they recap everything important from the first arc of the series.
No, they totally did that, didn't they?
It does make sense, though. You know, you had this 11 episodes of full plot, and then you had a week break. So, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you finally realize that from their drawing that, wait, the Geekersil building is a giant lemon.
I thought it was a tree.
It's a tree.
It has a lemon on top of it.
Well, they drew it. It does, yes.
Well, hey, what do you know? Mm-hmm. We have a lemon rider coming up.
It's a lemon tree.
Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon...
That's how the lemon tree song goes.
Anyway, they end up taking a walk, and Mithy wants Kota to agree to not use the driver anymore. But a couple of their fans interrupt them and make Kota feel awkward by asking for autographs, because, hey, you're internet famous now. They ditch their fans, but not for long, as some invests show up to cop a feel, because, you know, the fans were girls. Kota can't help but run to the rescue, and he has an awesome transformation in the middle of leaping off a bridge.
That was f***ing great.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. It really was.
One of my favorite things in this show really is, like, half the time when Kota transforms, because he does it in such varying different ways so often.
He transforms in a very, like, showmanship way.
But with that... Mm-hmm.
He's ultimately a performer, not just a fighter.
He is.
Yeah,
Marvelous would like him.
Yeah, probably so.
And then when he takes on this invest, he's able to fight him off without even using any of his regular finishing moves.
Yeah, the fight's over really fast, but...
Is that just because he's getting better or because they're pressed for time?
I mean, it was just a rookie-level invest, but at the same time, he's getting better. You know, you can see in the last few episodes, he's starting to fight out of his suit and actually be effective at that a little bit. And yeah, his moves are getting more versatile in his transformation, too. I've said this before, but I mean, it's very distinct from how Wizard was, where you could not make any connection between Haruto and Wizard in the way they moved. But it's really synchronous here.
Yeah, and that was definitely probably more the fault of, like, the director than the actual actors involved, because...
Yeah, I think so.
Obviously, it was Takaiwa, so...
Yeah.
You had to blame the director on that case.
Yeah, I mean, the two things I would blame in Wizard's case is either the director or the actor playing Haruto just could not do that stuff.
What they wanted
him to do. I'd buy both, to be honest.
Yeah.
It might have been a combination of both, because...
But, I mean, Takaiwa is so versatile in how he can bring a rider to life in the suit. Mm-hmm. You know, there would be no problem making him match his movements to how the actor is able to move.
Yeah, but it's not like Gintaro or Ren Kiriyama, who they felt like the same person that was Double or Forze.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the feel that we get with Kota and Gaim.
Mm-hmm.
You get that feeling of... The movements are so similar between them that it feels like it is the same person, even though we know it's an actor and a suit actor.
Yep.
And that's the thing that really impresses me, knowing that the same guy does every main writer for every series for the last decade.
And I think you get a bit of that, too, with the other ones, too, because whoever's doing Bravo is doing really well, and Baron as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really feeling it so much with Baron, but definitely Bravo.
Well, Baron has like economy of movement.
Yeah.
And Bravo is very like over the top, played very over the top because of the character. So that comes across a lot more clearly.
Yeah. I definitely see it with Coney and Corny.
Yeah, that's
Oh god. And speaking of which,
later.
Yes.
Anyway, the fight with the Invis is over pretty quick, but Mitchie's pissed and they start arguing until Yggdrasil shows up with a squad of riot troopers, Kurokages, and they decide running away is a better plan.
Hey,
it's the same thing now.
Hey, yeah.
There's our monster suit budget.
Yeah.
Although I think it's only like 3 suits.
I was going to say, they probably only have 3 suits and they were looping the leaping animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime it's
they wasted the monster budget. On pinecone suits.
Yeah, but
not complaining.
But really, I mean, what other series could you actually say that about and be completely serious?
Stupid pinecone suits. What?
Anyway,
I feel bad for the people who are going to have to troop build the Kurokage from Arms Change now.
And watch it be a webshop exclusive for figure arts too.
Oh God!
Although being figure arts,
I'm not even assuming it gets that far.
No. Being figure arts, there will be a normal version with a yellow belt, and then this version with a silver belt, which will be like a premium shop exclusive. So even a little bit worse.
Oh, and it'll be like a $150 three pack.
Except that would make people have an easier time doing it.
Oh no, because that's the price before middlemen.
No, I know, but if they had to...
It sounds like BotCon exclusives.
No, but if you had to get them individually...
No, they might not rip you off in the process.
If you had to get them individually, you would have the middleman fee like 3 times. Whereas if it's a 3-pack... Anyway, Kaito's standing around in a muddy lot having a perfectly pleasant time scowling at life. And then Mai shows up.
Nothing helps you scowl at life more than Mai.
I will actually go out here and say that this is one of the only scenes recently where she didn't get on my nerves, so maybe there's hope.
Mm-hmm. Or not. God, anyway.
Because it's actually does...
like, she's an unpleasant bitch.
this scene actually does give some insight into her rather than her just seeming like she's doesn't really know what she's talking about.
But
well, she shits all over that next time, just spoiler warning.
She's all in Kaito's business, wanting to know why he's there, and Kaito's remembering Azaome before Yggdrasil came and OCP'd the place, telling her about a sacred forest and a shrine that got paved over for low-income housing or maybe a Waffle House.
Probably both.
There's a difference.
Now, the tree that they cut down at this shrine, isn't this the same one that Yggdrasil had in their basement last time?
Yeah.
Oh,
sure
shit.
It looks like it, didn't it?
It is.
Oh, shit. I didn't notice that.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Is there a Totoro stuff in this tree somewhere?
Oh, shit.
Kaito thinks that it doesn't matter anyway because nobody
Totoro
remembers
is
that
a
the...
Invis.
Kaito thinks that nobody remembers the forest or the tree or the shrine anyway. But Kaito is doing a really good job of talking about why he hates Yggdrasil and, like, you know, having good depth of motivation for his character, building a background for himself, basically, you know, being a real boy. But then Mai started talking and my ears started to bleed and Kaito left and the scene suddenly sucked a lot more, especially when the other Mai showed up to warn the first Mai to change your future or something. I don't know. I wasn't even paying attention at that point.
No, that's pretty much exactly how it went down.
Less bleeding on this end, but yeah, that kind of that's how it went.
Well, what's interesting about this, though, is that it realized that Kota's not just hallucinating this bitch. She's showing up.
Well,
no,
everybody's
really there.
Everybody's seen her.
I think Kaito saw her. Did anybody else besides Kaito see her, though?
Mitchie did in a dream.
Yeah, Mitchie saw her, too.
Because remember I made the joke that afterward he woke up, his pillow was missing, and he was all sticky?
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Although Jonouchi and Hase didn't see her, though.
No.
Or well, not. Yeah, not that
not
we
around
shown.
Long enough to matter anyway.
Or Pierre. So, just the main.
My working theory on this right now is that that's Mai from the bad ending of the series, somehow trying to communicate back and make things be different.
So if Kota doesn't collect all the Chaos Emeralds, that's the Mai we're going to get?
Yeah, possibly.
Possibly.
And that also explains why she's only showing up to those three people.
Yeah.
It's the ones that she's forming connections with over the course of the series.
That makes sense.
The ones who can actually change their fate.
Yeah, that too. Maybe the ones whose fates actually matter. So at the juice bar, Coda's talking really loudly about all the dangerous secret stuff they've learned.
Oh God, the waitress.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I was like, talk
maybe
about
she's not such a time wasting moron after all.
Talk about an innocuous background character all of a sudden becoming real f***ing important.
Yeah.
So basically, you mean like DJ Sagara?
So I mean. We all understand that she's probably Marika, right?
Who?
Have they announced her name?
Who's Marika?
The Peach writer.
Peach.
Yeah.
Because we know Marika's name. Do we know this waitress chick's name?
No.
I was trying to find out, but no.
That's a possibility.
It could be
something there, then.
I mean, they're being kind of... It feels heavy-handed in this that she's, you know, listening in on them for probably... She's probably there as a plant.
Oh God, she's been texting Yggdrasil the whole time.
Yeah,
probably.
Every single time that we've been in the juice bar, she's been busy on her iPhone.
Uh huh.
Yeah, she keeps taking breaks at inconvenient times. Yeah,
pretty much whenever the beat writers are in there.
Yep. And she's never actually doing her job that she supposedly has there.
Yep,
resolved.
God.
The mystery that we didn't know existed is solved. So, Kota wants to take everything out in the open and let everybody know what Yggdrasil is doing up in their wacky tower with the lemon on top. Michi's main concern in going public is having his secret life on the dance circuit revealed, but he tries to cover that with concern about tricking the other writers and saying that a secret has to stay secret forever. But more credibly, he suggests Yggdrasil may send Zangetsu around to get rid of anybody who knows things.
Yeah, that makes sense. Considering
I think there
Zangetsu.
Might be something to that.
Yeah.
There's truth there, I believe.
But, you know, later on, of course, everybody else can be caught up. For right now, though, the two of them need to work with this knowledge on their own. Michi wants to resist Yggdrasil's will by giving up the use of the drivers, but Kota's having a little trouble accepting that.
Rightfully.
Yeah. But, I mean, I can see Michi's point of view.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because, I mean, his role as the strategist, he's looking for the most effective way to achieve his own end.
Which is saving his own ass.
Yep.
Yeah, he's trying to live to fight another day when he has a way to do so, but in the meantime, don't get yourself and everybody else around you killed by open resistance.
But Kota is too good of a person to just...
Yep.
watch monsters eat people, basically.
Well, and it almost goes back to Kaito's lesson
because
of...
he just likes being the hero, I think.
It kind of goes back, I think, also to Kaito's lesson of strength versus power.
Yeah, you know, the difference.
Because Kota has power now, and he's finding that he has the strength to do what he thinks is good things with it. And he does not want to just stop doing that for his own fear and the fear of the other people. You know, to me, it all kind of links together that way.
Yeah.
But speaking of Kaito, elsewhere, he's come to beat some ass. Hase's in particular.
Well, this won't be long, will it?
It's time for a rider battle, but Hase's driver won't engage. As you might remember, it got pretty broken when Zangetsu took him down in the forest last week.
Yeah,
and it seems to be
much.
Completely unusable now, no matter how many times Hase tries to slap it on. He's going to have some bruises.
Just watching, like, well,
So instead he does the only other option available and opens the lock to summon an Invis.
And Baron just stands there.
Oh, good,
there.
They remembered they can still do that.
It's a pretty quick defeat, though, and with his total loss of power, Team Raid Wild abandons him, along with what's-his-name Groudon.
Jonouchi.
Who's awesome, because he was like, bitch, I was going to do that to you.
he,
until he goes off to find another format.
Now, does he mean that, or is he just covering for himself?
A little bold, probably.
I think he actually didn't mean that, because there's a bit to him here where it's like, he might not be as unaware of things as he seemed. Because his line when he walks away, he's like, "Well, time to find a new doormat."
Yeah, so he decides,
smiling. He was happy to be rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he decides he needs someone else's power to try to ride on. So he visits Pierre and begs for an alliance.
He begs to ride on his power.
But
Lauren does not notice because he is too busy trying to immortalize his beloved in cake.
But see,
yeah, Pierre is a little busy trying to express his Zangetsu boner through pastry.
But see, the way Jonouchi walks off, though, I do think that his groveling to Pierre is a bit of an act.
At Probably. First, yeah, but, you know, when he's put to work mixing cake batter in fear of his life, I think it's more genuine.
Well, that is, certainly. But
yeah.
I want to hope that there might be something
more to him than just a comic relief.
Yeah.
There has to be, because he's the one that was given a personality between the two Nut Brothers.
Yeah, him and Hase, because Hase's just kind of a punk.
Well, and plus, they're doing something interesting with Hase now in the next episode, so they're probably going to do something interesting with him as well. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody's, like, being a wasted character.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we're just having to wait for the payoff, and I think Gridon's payoff is just a little farther down.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a reason that Gridon gets the figure.
Well, yeah. Michi and Kota are still talking about whether to give up or even if becoming Armored Riders was a mistake to start with. Kota is not happy about how things went down, but he still thinks having the driver's power is important. Michi, though, doesn't think power is the way to go in fighting Yggdrasil. He wants to toss the drivers in the river because he's been reading Inoue's book and stop being involved with the secret plots or having the temptation to transform even for good reasons.
Then conveniently.
Such as the convenient Infez attack a short distance away. Michi tries to stop Kota, but his orange can't be contained, and Gaim fights alone against multiple champion form Invis, while Michi watches, intent on not being involved anymore.
You know,
I kind of like that he brings out the belt to try and help, but then ultimately decides no and lets Kota fend for himself.
He didn't bring the belt out, though. He was carrying it the whole time in his hand.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he brings it up as if he's going to use it.
Michi being as smart as he's supposed to be, his strategy here is seriously flawed.
Yeah,
Throw the drivers in the river to stop Yggdrasil. That's not going to stop them. They're just going to go find some other sucker to slap a new belt on.
Plus, then if they run into monsters, then they can't defend themselves.
Right.
He's giving away the only thing they have to fight back against Yggdrasil. He's like, okay, no, we're not going to stop them. Just throw away your driver, and we're going to let them do whatever they want unchecked.
I think
he doesn't really want to fight Yggdrasil. I mean,
this is why he's going to go bad, and this is why he's going to lose, because
considering that he is Yggdrasil.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's figured out he is Yggdrasil. So he doesn't want to fight it. He just wants whatever is going to cover up the evidence that he was there.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense then.
Because he can cover his own ass.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much.
But I mean, he cares about Kota like a friend. But in another sense, too, Kota's a rival because he wants Mai.
Yeah.
You will not shut up about through most of this episode.
I don't think Kota wants Mai, but Mai.
Yeah,
Mai
you
Kota.
See, yeah.
The other thing here is that we haven't really seen him disagree with his brother on anything. He's sort of kowtows to him, so discovering that he's Zangetsu, he may already be planning to switch sides because it's his brother.
Yep.
You can't rule that out either.
Hey, one thing we got in this week, Gaim's regular form rider kick.
Yeah. That whole fight was actually really nice.
And it's weird,
we don't even notice that there's been very little rider kicks in a Kamen Rider series.
Well, Kota had one in, like, episode 2 or so, but, like, with this being where Kota started to become a hero, it kind of fits that his rider kick in his main form, finally.
And this also goes back to what we were saying at the start of this, where you can really see his advancement in learning how to fight with his powers. Because, I mean, he was even able to shoot that one out of the air and finish it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, taking on advanced form Invis like that outnumber him was
Three
not
of
something... He wouldn't have been able to do that, you know, 4 or 5 episodes ago.
Yeah, he needed help to do that 4 or 5
episodes ago. Certainly not in his orange armor.
Yeah.
I like this bit at the end of the fight where they, where Kota and Michi don't even talk. They just kind of look at each other because you can really tell they're starting to fall out now.
Yeah.
Or at least the foundation's starting to crack.
Yeah, I mean, after this, Michi does not seem to be sure what he wants to do about everything anymore, but, I mean, the disagreement is still there and it's going to build.
So basically what we're saying is that up to episode 12, we've had more story, more interest, more excitement, and more adventure,
and character development
Wizard had in its entire f***ing series.
Also more character development.
And that other shoe is going to hit us like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
So,
has any other writer series given us as much as Gaim has in such a short amount of time?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
None I can think of.
It's hard to call that.
For shows I love, writer series are usually very slow-paced.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to call. Because Gaim has done...
Maybe Double, because Double hit with a lot of character really fast.
Oh, yeah, Double's great, but it is still more slow-paced. It's like only by episode 10 did he start like running into Museum.
Like the, that okay, the
yeah, really. I mean, part of the, I mean, he would run into the monsters of the day, but he didn't really. He didn't really start running head first into them until almost like a quarter of the way through the series. It feels like, I think.
The thing you have to keep in mind with this, though, you know, Gaim is not using the 2-episode format, so it's a little more free form in how it can present everything.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because with the 2-episode format, you get one complete story every 2 weeks. So everything's going to be stretched out a little bit more.
Right.
Which proves they were right to change and mix up that 2-episode
format. Oh, absolutely. I've never questioned that.
And the way they're doing it also is like, that did help them, I think, in budget. Because they only had to like make like one monster suit every 2 weeks.
Right.
But so in this one, they're having to find different ways to stretch that out. And they're doing it very interestingly.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we're 12 episodes in, and I think we've had, like, 5 total Invest suits.
Besides the main one. Besides the...
I think well, yeah, I mean, 3 of them in this one.
Five total of the champion form ones.
Yes.
And we don't really care, because the writers have been interesting enough on their own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just like... A lot like with Ryuki, the writer interaction is the main push of this right now.
Right.
Which actually is really kind of brilliant, because when it comes to kids don't really care about the monsters. They don't want villain characters.
Well,
they want to watch heroes.
Especially
so you make
in
a show
Japan.
Of nothing but heroes, and bam.
You know, it's been a long-established thing with the Japanese companies. They don't want to make villain toys, because they're sure kids are not interested in buying those. They want the hero toys. So,
we just kind of squint at Zangetsu and pretend otherwise.
Yeah.
He's still a hero suit, even if the character is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still a Kamen Rider, therefore he's a hero character.
Right. You know, it's easy enough for a kid to be able to buy or be given a Zangetsu and pretend that he's a heroic Kamen Rider than to get, you know, a monster action figure and...
Though, hey, speaking of Zangetsu, we still have one more scene.
Well, yeah, I mean, but we don't know
there,
that. I mean,
we're making a lot of discussion.
Yes,
we're making some assumptions about Zangetsu.
So far he's an antagonist.
I hate to go back to my Gundam Wing analysis, but I mean,
hate
think
for you
about,
to go back to that too.
Yeah,
yeah, I know, but I mean,
well,
you
Zex,
think about
Zex went both ways. He was an antagonist at first, and then he became kind of a Zex hero.
Zex went three ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, think about even...
But you have to remember that with Gundam Wing, you know, Zex's story arc is, like Gundam Wing itself, a massive compression of the first 20 years of Universal Century. And Zex's career is all of Char's character development stretched down into the space of a year.
I'm not just talking about, like, but not just him, also Trey's as well.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, you think about Trey's character, who was that nobility style character.
But by the end of the series, he was
a hero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
died. Okay. Yeah. I hate to veer too far into this, but the thing you have to remember with Trey's is that from start to finish, the one thing he was out for was his own. Yeah. The only thing Trey's was out for the whole time was his own end. And that never changed the whole way through, only the alliances he was willing to make to see it through.
But then again, that might fit, because do we really know what Takatora's motivation actually is?
Right. I mean,
not
he
a
doesn't
damn clue.
Know anything from his perspective right now. He probably just considers himself the hero compared to everyone else.
Probably.
Don't have anyone's word for that right now.
You're fighting for your cause is only that only goes as far as you know what you're fighting for as far as those alliances go. I mean, you may fight for the same.
We don't really know much about Yggdrasil's cause either. We don't have any idea why they're keeping these cracks open in the world and what they want from the Lockseeds.
And to him, these are just a bunch of kids.
Correct.
Yeah, all we really have so far on Yggdrasil, and by extension Zangetsu, is that they know that there is some specific power in the forest that they are trying to harness. You know, right now we have not been shown for what or the nature of that power.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's good story pacing. They're putting in a lot of little things here and there to build toward it, and eventually I feel confident we will get the payoff on that and everything will start to make sense. But in the meantime, you know, Zangetsu only appears as an antagonist because that's the context we're given.
And, you know, the good thing about Gaim is that since it does seem to be doing well enough, we can kind of say, okay, there will be payoff because they probably won't f*** it at this point.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to... Right now, the way things are going, I really don't think a mid-series rewrite is a concern.
Yeah. So that's
yeah, it's selling like crazy, and the ratings are even up, which was amazing.
Yeah, so that's kind of the exciting part about it. You can actually make these speculations and not feel like, well, unless they f*** it up.
Right.
Possibly another f***ing tidal wave this year.
Because I don't think Urobuchi is the kind of writer that's going to f*** that up. If he's left to his own devices enough.
Well, 12 episodes in, they haven't dropped the ball.
Okay, so let's get into that final scene. Takatori is standing in Helheim, being surrounded by some of Yggdrasil's new shadow troopers. he's unconcerned as he straps on a new driver and transforms with an energy Lockseed into the visual disaster that is Zangetsu Shin.
Boy, that voice is just creepy.
You know, as much as I love the concept of bionic fruit, I just feel it's way too early.
It does feel early, doesn't it?
Well, now, here's what I like about it. Okay, Zangetsu right now is an antagonist, right? And normally, when an antagonist gets a power up, it's after he's gotten a defeat by the enemy or anything. No.
he's undefeated and he gets powered up?
Yeah, now he's even more powerful.
He beat the shit out of every rider in this series. Every single one of them has gotten their asses kicked by him now. So he's going to get more power. And he's going to get an entire team on top of that.
Well, when you grind enough mobs, you get enough experience points to level up.
And here's the thing. We know he's going to get more powerful because he's not because with this he's only using the new driver and not combining them yet.
Yes.
So, by the time he's nearly killed a dozen or so Yggdrasil employees, the forest fades away. It was a simulation, aside from the part where he
Yggdrasil has their own danger room.
It was a simulation, aside from beating the shit out of a bunch of dudes, which was completely for real.
I couldn't simulate that.
I'm really not
it's a
sure
budget
what this
danger room.
I'm not sure what this test really was supposed to accomplish, since he really could have done the same thing with the regular driver and his normal melon armor. But, you know, Takatora and Ryoma seem satisfied, and Takatora figures now that the Genesis driver is proven, they probably don't need those first stage test subjects anymore.
Whoops.
Dun, dun, dun.
I love that last line. It's time to give those brats a harsh dose of reality.
Is this where he checked out his ass?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And then the next episode is just f***ing great.
Yeah, episode 13, everything goes bananas.
And yeah, because no spoilers, because it's in the preview.
Yeah.
Gaim Banana Arms.
I don't watch the previews.
You should.
Why would I watch the previews? I'm going to watch the next episode.
Oh, sorry. I'll
go watch it right the f*** now then.
Also, the text in the last scene does say Gaim transforms into a banana. So, I mean.
Okay, well, very well. I'm not really giving you that much shit.
But yeah, only the next episode, this shit is just, yeah.
How many more weeks do we got to put up with this wizard shit in the promos?
I think this is probably the last week. It's been about 5 or 6 episodes now.
It'll be gone eventually, but, you know, we have good episodes to balance it out.
Just skip the opening.
Yeah. You know, the single for the song has been out for a while now, so you don't need to rely on watching the show to hear it.
Yes, it's burned into my playlist at this point.
But yeah, I mean, even for the episode being mostly set up for the story arc to come, it still, I think it went well. I think it was handled well.
Considering we just talked about it for
a half an hour.
At least.
Yeah. How long have we been this coherent on a series?
It has been about 30 minutes because, of course, I'm timing.
Oh, yes, of course.
But no, I mean, I like think back to Gokaiger, where they even did the stupid kid has to go do something plot and made that tolerable.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I'm feeling about how Gaim is handling an episode like this, which would be, you know, completely intolerable in any other series.
Yeah, this is true.
Honestly, I never would have expected, like, you know, fruit theme, Urobuchi writing. I never would have expected to get something this solid and enjoyable week to week.
Well, the writing wasn't ever the concern. It was more like, what the f*** is Bandai imposing on them now? And yet?
Yeah.
It works. Yeah.
It does. It works to the point where we don't even question it at all.
Well, because yeah. I think in the sense that they've made it fit into the overall theme without making it take over the show.
Yeah, and it's like, I hope I don't, you know, eat these words in 6 months, but it's like every episode is like, I'm not dreading anything. I'm downloading it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm watching just as soon as I can after we're done recording.
Good.
Oh, you haven't watched yet?
No. No, because I don't want to go into the discussion with the thoughts of the episode we're not discussing, because
yeah,
sometimes that will run together in my head, and
I get it.
Yep, I agree.
Still, it's good for us to keep up the buffer too.
Yes. Yeah, I'm happy to keep doing that just because we do have some guarantee of an episode to talk about every week.
That yes. puts us a week behind every other podcast. There are competition, yeah. and we're running behind.
Yeah, I'm so concerned.
You know, like RFC and Fanboy Versus.
Oh yeah, they're big on the Gaim discussion.
Oh yeah.
Huge.
Almost as much as the Minecraft discussion. Okay, so I guess we'll take a break. And then we'll come back for the man.
Superhero time. Just watch the shows. It's faster. It's time now for another Dynaman moment.
Your wheels are real cherry.
That's just like Dinah Pink. Oh, you bet.
How could you know?
Oh, kids.
How fast does she go?
Pretty fast from what I've heard.
We're not just talking about the motorcycle.
That's
either.
Not very nice.
Cut it out, you knuckleheads. Well, I'm going to try this baby out.
Don't fall. Don't fall.
Don't worry, Doc. I'm much too good-looking.
It's time for Power Playback.
Pop the man!
Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
What's up, man?
Okay, so on Power Playback this week, it's Bioman 27.
Yes.
Bioman.
The Female Warriors of the Spider Hell.
I love that title. That's why we watched that episode.
For the man.
For the
now,
man.
Just so you know, the other episode I had optioned was the one where Dr. Man's son, Prince, comes back as a ghost.
Wow.
But XV chose this one, so.
I don't think I made a wrong choice either way.
Nah.
No.
Well.
It's Bioman, so I don't think you can. Make
besides, maybe we can save the other episode for, like, Halloween.
That's what I was thinking.
It'll be fine. So, Mickey, why don't you do this episode for us?
Okay. Well, the episode starts out at the rock quarry after an oil tanker is spilled on it. Where Yellow 4 and Pink 5 are sunbathing, wearing some rubber monster suits with bikinis over them.
And then a rape gang emerges from the forest.
Yeah, suddenly perverts.
That's Japan, all right.
Also, I love how they're sunbathing in complete overcast.
Yeah.
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 And I just can't. Would you go in the ocean with that beach, quote unquote beach? I mean,
what is it about like Japanese
it's boulders?
Japanese beaches, like I swear, like in any of the shows I've seen, like they're always like the sand looks like dirt, and like it never looks inviting. Like it always looks like it's a biohazard or something.
Like, how do they go barefoot on those beaches?
Must be the nukes.
You'd always come back to the radiation poisoning.
So the perverts show up with erections in one hand and fists raised in the other. And they yell, get off our beach! For reasons, I suppose. I don't know. But Yellow and Pink are freaked out, so they run downtown, which is deserted.
And somehow along the way are able to change clothes while running.
Yes.
I assume that's just, you know, the bioman particles or something.
Yeah, their clothing is made of bioparticles.
So they hatch a plan of some sort that involves Yellow 4 putting on roller skates and carrying on Soundwave and leading
while changing into a completely different outfit again.
Yes.
They're really good at that.
And,
have you ever seen women change clothes in a car? It's amazing.
No, but like I get, you know, putting clothes on instead of running around just in the swimwear, but then changing just to execute this plan that I don't really understand. You know, that's the part that I'm getting lost at.
So Yellow 4 distracts the pervert crowd by skating around downtown, blasting Lord knows what. It was the 80s, so I assume synth pop.
Yeah, Amanda's exact comment on this episode was, oh my god, it's so 80s.
Yeah, well,
it was. Wasn't this like 85 or something?
84, I think.
Even better.
Doesn't get more 80s than 84. That's the 80s year.
So, while that's going on, Pink is breaking and entering into some kid's home and finding his dad has been encased in...
Carbonite?
Yeah. Cotton.
Yeah. Oh.
Soft carbonite.
Carbonite light.
Cottonite.
While Pink just sort of stumbles around wondering, huh? The kid's mom enters the scene and is freaked the fuck out that the kid brought a stranger into their home.
Well, as you
as
would.
As you should be.
Yes! So before she can get Pink out of the building, a spider drifts down from the ceiling and starts encasing the mom in a sticky fluid.
Well, there you go.
A nerve.
I'm sure she's been there before.
I thought the Rape King had gone after Yellow 4.1.
Oh, God. Well, as the spider turns its focus away from the mom, Pink throws a shoe at it, and the shoe promptly explodes and blowing the spider up in mechanical bits.
Now, I'm no
terrible looking spiders too.
I'm no expert, but I don't think that's how spiders work.
You know, you're right.
Could work it that way in Japan with all the radiation.
Yes, the radiation makes the spiders spontaneously be robots. Because that's exactly how radiation based mutation works.
Have you ever read a Marvel comic?
Yes, it doesn't turn you into robots, it turns you into the Hulk.
Oh, well.
The Hulk is not a robot, nor is he purple from space, Paladin.
Well, the reason for the robot spiders is that elsewhere in town, Farrah is watching the Bioman ladies on TV going, God damn it, what the f*** are they doing here?
We had this brilliant plan.
That they've apparently been working on for 2 months.
Yeah, how the f*** did the Bioman not notice this?
So, as Pink and Yellow and the little boy... run to try to escape. They are accosted by Farrah.
This sounds like an awesome band. Pink and Yellow and the Little Boy.
Yeah. And Farrah's brought her battle lesbian along with her.
Of course.
Along with the mecha human troops. So, being just girls, Pink and Yellow can't put up too much of a fight.
They do pretty well, though.
Well,
considering it's Sentai in the 80s and her girls.
And she gets her ass beat. Yellow manages to transform and gets her arm covered in sticky fluid. So as, you know, Yellow...
I'm sure she's been there before.
While Yellow's completely cocooned, and Yellow's running around on the floor. The Bioman men show up and immediately yell, "Oh God, Yellow 4, are you okay?"
Damn it, not again.
Completely not even giving a shit that Pink has got it way worse than Yellow 4.
They don't. Maybe they probably don't know Pink's in there because she's completely encased.
Well, all the same, they don't bother to ask where she's at. They don't give her any mention at all. They don't give a shit about Pink.
Maybe after they lost the first Yellow 4, they decided to just, you know, stop being so attached.
Maybe they realize they don't have a backup for Pink. Whatever. So at this point, the kids start giving us the backstory of what's going down. 2 months ago, a giant robot spider came down on a web out of the sky attached to the moon, I guess.
Works for Spider-Man.
I did wonder that the entire episode. What is that cable attached to?
No, it works for Spider-Man. Don't question it.
And he pooped a bunch of baby robot spiders all over the town, which then basically blackmailed the town into becoming their slaves, because if you don't obey them, then they put you inside an unbreakable cocoon.
Thankfully, okay. We had C-3PO female here to tell us that, too.
Yeah, Peepo enlightened us on some of the more fine details of the plot, where the spiders don't really kill you. They just trap you in a tiny little box where you slowly starve to death.
And quite possibly suffocate.
Oh my God, Bob, you were so f***ed up.
Really? And Saban wanted to bring this to America.
That's such a terrible way to die.
Isn't it?
It's not
slowly
even
starving to death.
Oh, it's not even the starving to death. You would die of thirst much sooner.
Well, yeah. That, but also while being completely immobile and unconscious.
Yeah.
Surrounded by spiders.
And basically you're buried alive.
Yeah.
Jesus. Bioman is so hardcore.
It's pretty terrible.
Yellow 4.
So we get a brief glimpse at the new and improved Dr. Man behind the scenes, which we skipped that episode. But apparently he's more metal than ever.
I thought it looked
you
like
can
he was
tell
doing
from
something...
that hair.
Yeah, I thought he was doing something different with his hair.
Yeah. He had it did. elsewhere, while the Biomans are getting their backstory filled in, Yellow 4 has gone off on her own to go Tarzan swinging on a bridge.
Because, yeah, I don't get that part either, to be honest.
Apparently she crossed halfway across the bridge to tie that rope on there, and then came back to swing across.
Unless, do the Bioman have grappling hooks?
Even if she had used a grappling hook, that probably would have alerted the robots on top of the bridge that she was trying to sneak past.
Or if those robots had any kind of peripheral vision at all, they would have seen her swinging.
They couldn't have any kind of peripheral vision with those masks.
That's true. They're probably lucky to see in front of themselves.
Just like Riders.
Yeah. Let's see. Where were we? Oh, yes. This is where Yellow 4, after successfully seeing across, she infiltrates the Dr. Man's team's base on the Mayan Island adventure part.
Because, yeah, they have those in Japan, too.
Which, you know, I'm thankful for not seeing another trip to the pipe farm, but I really got to understand, what the hell is this place in Japan? They've got, like, a giant eagle statue and, like, Moai heads. It's like an O-Ranger set. Nothing makes
early.
Any sense. It's just also ancient civilization shit piled all together, and there's camels and... Lord. So, while the Biomans show up carrying the robos with them to attack from the sky like cowards, Farrah, her battle lesbian, and Metzler decide, you know, just screw this noise. We're just going to throw Pink off a cliff.
Yeah, well,
it's not the most complicated plan, but...
points for, you know, efficiency.
But yeah.
It's not just efficient. They got style about it, too, because they're doing the whole one... Two!
Well, and that ends up being their downfall, because if they would have just, like, they kept, because the Bioman keep attacking and messing up their count. Let the start over. You can see, like, they keep trying to do the, they keep trying to do the count, and they're like, one, two, oh, dang, he messed this up. Okay, try again. One, two, oh, crap.
But if they don't get the rhythm down, they're not going to get any distance when they throw her.
Right.
Yeah, because she'll start spinning.
Just start spinning.
But finally, They get their countdown, and they just heave Pink right off that f***ing cliff. And halfway down, she blows the f*** up.
Holy crap.
And then, well, she's morphed underneath there. Shit.
Because, yeah, that can save you.
So, even though she's morphed and escaping a fireball that she was in the middle of, which is awesome, when she lands, she demorphs just to talk shit to Farrah. So, she basically just sort of rubs it in Farrah's face that they outsmarted her, that right before she got cocooned, she morphed. Which is a terrible f***ing plan, because, like, what if the Bioman never came to save her? Or
yeah, what if they just chalked it up as a loss?
Like, they already got one replacement. It can't be that hard to find more.
Like, there's other people with bioparticles. What ifs?
Pink 5!
Meanwhile, Yellow 4 has gone all Solid Snake and shit, and is infiltrating the Mayan base to blow up the computer. And which, of course, she does using a bow and arrow, because that's how she solves all of life's problems, by shooting with the arrows.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, totally, because computer panels will explode when you hit them with an arrow.
And well, will spiders, apparently.
Star Trek, yep. I mean...
It's true.
And, you know, Star Trek panels will explode at least provocation. Besides, if this was the first Yellow 4, she would have blown it up by shooting it with a camera, and that's just even less credible.
Or she would have driven her motorcycle into it.
These are all true things.
So at this point, the show starts to flip onto autopilot for, you know, the morphed battles. Although we do get some epic shots of people jumping on top of giant statues and June shooting arrows through people's necks, which I never get tired of, honestly.
And, you know, the battle lesbian whipping her nunchucks around like a maniac.
Yeah, I love how she has no clue how to use nunchucks. She just spins them in circles and clubs them with people with them.
Is this right? Okay.
Here's a hint. When you take more damage from your weapon than the person you're fighting, you're probably not doing it right.
I love how violent this show is.
No!
I also love how the Bioman never... run out of new attacks to make up. It's like their actual superpowers. They can just make up new attacks whenever they want. They have the power of imagination. So Pink and Yellow pair
it's
their
like
swords
with Superman.
Together.
They can do whatever they want as long as they stick bio in front of a word.
Yeah.
So is there a bio horse at some point?
I thought that was Batman's power, though.
Well, having taken care of the grunts, it's time for Bio-Robo to enter the scene, and... in a rare turn of form, the fight does not last 15 seconds.
Because that spider suit is awesome.
Yeah,
I like it. It's all dangly and crazy.
Yeah, Bio-Robo actually has to use 3 attacks to kill the monster instead of immediately going straight to the finisher. That's very unusual for Bio-Man, so this must have been a really tough monster.
It seemed to go faster once they cut it off of its magic line that went nowhere.
Yeah. And they stabbed it through the heart with their super maser.
Spiders don't have hearts.
It was very heroic.
Well, right through the cloaca? No, that's birds. Wait, what do spiders have? Anyway, so monster defeated, and then everyone's back to normal, and Blue is a dick and plays with the rubber spider and scares the shit out of everyone.
He is a dick, isn't he? That was a dick move.
That was a pretty great episode, though.
It was.
Apparently, Bioman is awesome.
He really kind of is.
You hadn't realized that before.
Well, I kind of realize it because we keep doing power playbacks of it. Like, other things, we really care if we've done a lot of power playbacks of it. Bioman, we, like, don't care.
Yeah.
It's pretty reliable, that's why.
Whenever we don't have any ideas what to watch, there's always Bioman, because it's always good.
Yes, and this week, Mickey, you don't even have to pick anything because we're not doing a show next week, probably, unless the others want to do something. But for the week after, you can pick a Deno episode for us, since that was your other choice for this week.
All right, so then it'll probably be the introductions of Kentaros, then.
What is that, episode, like, 8?
I want to say 9 and 10, maybe?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Five and six was Turtle. Seven and eight was nothing. So I think it's 9 and 10.
Let's find out. Make me go actually look things up.
Yep.
Effort.
Mm-hmm. This is so interesting.
This is
riveting podcasting here. Once again.
We're good at this. Yeah, that is 9 and 10. That was so worthwhile.
Excellent.
Hooray!
Well, we're about 45 minutes short for our usual runtime, so what's new?
Oh, damn. I forgot about it during the news, but apparently the Golden Legacy Morpher is in stores.
Oh, good.
If you can actually find the f***ing thing, then yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I was so worried that wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
If it's anything like the first one, it'll be easy enough to find after a while.
Yeah.
But I still won't be able to make myself pay $60 for it.
No.
You're probably best for that.
Mm. Isn't it $80?
Depends on the Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Toys R Us has the great policy of managers getting to decide for themselves whether an area will support arbitrary price bumps on collector merchandise.
Nice.
So.
That's good of them.
But it's okay, Paladin, since, you know, nobody in your area can afford anything, all the stuff should be relatively cheap.
So we need to set up some kind of scam where we sign things from Detroit.
Well, yeah, and doesn't Michigan have the highest deposit return rate on the soda cans?
10 cents, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, there's a whole thing we could do.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
A plan is forming.
Because that's exactly what we need to do. We need to go and take more money out of Michigan's economy.
And filter it into our pockets. Yes.
Yeah. Let's make Michigan more poor.
That's
I don't
a challenge. Oh, I know what's news. Next week, someone's going to be old.
Who's that?
Yeah.
XV.
Is he?
He's How turning old? 30.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. You were born in 84, too. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had this discussion, actually.
Probably, although I still think you're 40, so.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Well, Gigabeetle thought you were 45, so.
Thank you.
He might have been using metric age, though.
Yeah, right.
Because
They're Swedish. They do that shit.
Yeah, his age is probably base 10, where ours is base 6.
Maybe you had that backwards? I think you had that backwards. Swedish age would be base 6.
No, metric is base 10. Imperial is base 6.
But no.
Brain, no.
I mean, yeah, but no. That so doesn't like work years? Like that. Yeah, maybe the Swedish measure age in dog years.
They measure it in beetle years.
What's the conversion rate for a beetle year to a human year?
Let's ask.
Surely Google knows.
Not Google, Giga.
Oh, well. Him too.
He should have his own site, Giga Google.
No, it's Giga, but it's spelled G-I-I-G-A.
No, it needs an umlaut.
Well, you get that with the two dots over the I's that are next to each other. It's a compound umlaut. Or umulat, right, Fort Max?
God.
Damn.
We never forget anything here.
Nope, our memory is long and painful.
Like a penis.
Well, yes.
Okay, JD's isn't that long.
No. I'm more about the group.
It's frightening that you know this.
Not firsthand, but...
It's really the quills that cause the pain.
But if not for that, they don't ovulate.
God, you know, I imagine you say that. Some poor... Like, oh god, someone out there will be like, they're what? Some poor virgin girl will be like, what? I never want to have sex. Oh god.
Yeah, there's any virgin girls listening to this show.
I could imagine virgin girls listening to this show.
Well, either way, after listening to this show, I agree they would not want to ever have sex.
Well, yeah.
Totally. That's what I could make. Oh god.
It's not worth the risk. I'm just gonna go play Keno instead. The odds are better.
We have such a great show.
I think some might disagree.
Yeah, but what do they know?
Yeah, we're completely unbiased about that.
So what about all the brouhaha about the female ranger keys? We can talk about that for a few minutes.
On the other hand, though, the packaging for the ranger key sets actually looks pretty cool.
It seems like it actually seems like a lot of packaging for two tiny little keys. So
is it there's three keys in it?
Is there?
Yeah, one of the keys is folded up into key shape.
Oh, okay. Still seems like a lot of packaging for.
It is, and they're expensive, but the packaging is cool looking either way. Actually, that seems to be a trend with the Super Megaforce stuff. The packaging is way overblown for what's in it.
Yeah.
Also, it looks like Spider-Man packaging from a distance.
From
being
a
all,
distance.
Being yeah, I'm getting a little tired of this is all red and black Power Rangers packaging theme that we've had since Samurai.
Nobody else remembers or cares.
How about we get some green back in there, like, you know, classic?
Or some blue, like, in space.
Didn't Lightspeed Rescue also use blue?
Yep.
Probably.
Yeah, so there you go. Proof of concept.
I want chrome packaging.
God, yes.
That would capture the spirit of the 90s. You know, every package has a foil cover that you open to see what's inside.
No, every cover should be a hologram cover with a collectible card polybagged.
Or oh, even God. Better, variant packaging.
Oh, God.
That would drive a lot of fans nuts.
I know!
Just like the steering wheel in their pants.
Grr.
Ha, pirate jokes.
Yep, I haven't helped you out there. I'd give you a helping hand, but all I got is this hook. Arr.
So while I can guarantee neither myself nor Mickey will be available next week, do you guys want to still try to do a show?
No.
Because, you know, you could probably get fill-in people.
Right.
And, you know, do a show.
No.
You get Gabba on it.
No.
Well, no, probably wouldn't get Gabba's.
Mr. Show, no here.
Because, you know, he has to work.
You could get Don on the show.
No.
I'd be fine with that.
No. Mr. Show, no here.
JD's kind of going glitchy there.
You could get better off and McFeely to talk about Sentai.
Yeah.
Somehow, I don't really think that would work out.
I don't know why.
We still need to let Brian be on the show sometime.
Well, we tried that before, and he mostly just wasn't.
Yeah.
I think the most interaction he had was when he played his sing-a-jig at us.
But also, remember, that's when we actually talked about Sentai, and not about, you know, oral sex and bizarre cancers.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
There's
I think we were pretty far. I think we were pretty far along in the show at that point. Sounds like Mickey just got a text message.
Now Paladin's birds are back.
I saw you light up when that sound went.
No, I was making a throwback reference to early in the show. All right, so I asked Gigabito, "What's the conversion between a Swedish year and a regular year?" And he says it's 6-2. He'll have to ask during Mass in IKEA tomorrow.
All hail the fall!
Wow.
Take a point and run with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta give him credit for committing to it.
Man, and not even really with much context.
Oh, he knows what time this is. I'm sure he can figure the context himself.
Uh, Okay, so if it's 6 Swedish years to 2 regular years, how old is Ken?
38.
Well, he'd be 3 times as old as he is now, so 60s.
I could believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Ken, we're going to have a really good time if you can come to Chattanooga next week.
Of course, that means I'd be in my 90s.
I can afford it. We'll see.
Well, it can't be that far of a drive for you.
Just go sell some blood.
3 to 4 hours.
Really?
I don't think anybody would buy Ken's blood. I'm just saying.
Nothing wrong with my blood. It's just it doesn't like to stay in me.
Well,
that should make it easier then.
Just sell semen.
Yeah, I don't think that has a problem staying
Someone
in,
has
right?
to be willing to buy that too.
Ouch.
God.
Even my joke wasn't that hurtful.
Well, Paladin speaks from experience.
There you go.
Aha, counter.
But yeah, you know, Ken, I can do the round trip to Mickey's place for like $40 in gas.
Yeah.
And XP doesn't even have a job.
Yeah.
Still a little tight right now, this week. We'll see.
That's why I only come once a year. Gotta save up. Save up for that $40 in gas.
I make your mom come more than once a year.
Ba-da-da.
Like I said, I'll keep you updated. It depends on how the rest of the week goes.
You can always sell all of your personal belongings.
That's
Dude,
true.
You can, sell that government. You can sell that government cheese, man. People will buy it. I'm just saying.
JD speaks from experience.
Oh, I know. When you get here, we'll give you money for gas, right, XV?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah.
Toots the coats, baby.
I have a PayPal right over here.
Well, no, Mickey doesn't use PayPal, and my PayPal account's empty, so.
Fill it back up.
But I promise we'll have some cash for you when you get there.
Uh-huh.
And
you
it's
take
most...
the chocolate coins
right next to their sandbox in Florida.
And it's mostly downhill back to your house from Chattanooga, right?
Sure. Right.
God.
I actually have no idea. The farthest into Georgia I've been is like 5 minutes. And Mickey took me there against my will.
That's basically how you get into Georgia.
Yeah, but you bought Best Lot toys there against my recommendations not to.
Best Lot?
No, Best Lock.
Oh, okay. I'll say, is there a Big Off, a Big Lots knockoff? What the fuck?
God.
Best Lots.
I can only imagine what that would be like.
That's where the really bad failed musicians work.
That's where they would carry Best Lock toys.
No, we went to the finest of establishments, a Family Dollar.
Mm-hmm. And you got some Stargate SG-1 knockoff Legos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
And one of the bags of parts was missing.
Stargate knockoff Legos.
They're not knockoff. It's actually licensed to Best Lock.
That's so sad.
Yeah, a little bit. Except they're carrying them at Target now.
I'm trying to think of something to be a worst licensing opportunity. Like maybe if Andromeda licensed itself to, say, children's keyboards made by Fisher-Price. I mean, has Stargate really fallen that far that they were reduced to Best Lock?
Well, Stargate's kind of a non-entity at this point, you know. Being all canceled and shit.
Until they do another reboot movie.
Which they probably won't, because I don't think sci-fi is interested in developing it any further.
Well, they could...
Who owns the movie license? Isn't it like Fox or somebody?
MGM
They are doing a reboot, aren't they, of the movie? Or new movie?
Somebody's always looking for another cow to milk. That's all I'm saying.
I can't remember. There were people in my home, and they were talking about this. I'm serious. Like that. I know that sounds really bad. And I'm trying
oh
to
yeah,
remember
sure,
what people
JD.
They
there
were
sure there were people in your home. Uh huh.
No, really.
Yeah,
did you take in order to talk to them?
I believe you, JD. Just like I believe Bach Cobb doesn't watch porn.
Who was talking about this?
Yeah. No, actually, I can't imagine that, because he would just criticize it away anyway. Nothing's ever good enough for Bach Cobb.
Well, I was thinking about that. That might be why he's so angry all the time.
The man with impossible standards.
Yeah.
But if Sci-Fi was going to reboot Stargate, they should just make Stargate WWE.
Okay, yeah, wait a minute. No, I remember. So it was a couple of my friends, and they were saying that there was a new movie coming out that was going to ignore the TV series.
But not okay. The first movie?
But it was based on the first movie, but ignoring the TV series.
Confusing absolutely everyone.
Like three or four?
And the bad thing is more people have probably seen the TV series than have seen the movie.
And that's exactly what their point was that more people are familiar with Stargate from the series than the movie, but they're going to do the movie like the series didn't happen.
That's because the series was way the hell better than the movie.
No shit.
Way better. Well, for the first 7 seasons, anyway.
I just had to remember who was talking about it. I don't know why that was important, but probably because I had to remember if I trusted my sources. And when I did, I did. So, there you go.
How many times did you did with your sources?
Don't know.
Oh, God, we still got another 30 minutes to fill up.
Buttercup, baby.
All right, for my contribution, Watermelon Arms is pretty f***ing awesome.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, make Mickey want to buy that toy.
Totally.
Oh.
It's got very good arm movement for something of this size and scale, too.
That's kind of surprising.
Like, better than most Megazords in articulation style.
Huh.
Plus, it comes with a dummy Gaim figure, so you can fit that inside and still display it with the other arms changes.
Ah.
Does the dummy Gaim figure accept arms?
No, it doesn't have the right connector ports.
By which you mean shoulders?
Actually, looking close, it might be able. It has the gap in its head.
Why don't you try it right now?
Because I don't want to stand up and have to get some of the other arms changed for it.
Don't be such a lazy ass, Paladin.
I don't know. He's got a good point, though.
You've known me how long?
You open this can of fruit.
Well, if you count the couple times I talked to you on Ranger Board, that'd be...
One, two, and three?
That'd be like, what, since 2007?
Ranger Board.
All right, let me see a moment here.
Oh, like you never made that mistake, Ken.
No, actually, I did not make the Ranger Board mistake, ever. I knew better.
Yeah, sure, I believe that, just like I believe Bach Cop doesn't watch porn.
Who doesn't watch porn?
If I just posted pictures of customs on Ranger Board and walked away? If I didn't actually engage them?
Yes,
yeah.
It counts.
Okay. Well, shit.
Now, I have made the TFW mistake, so I can't say anything.
TFW is a mixed bag, though. Their customer community is super good. I mean, everyone's very supportive and friendly and pleasant.
Then
if you walk into the discussion threads,
thing with 2005 is that every subform is basically its own self-contained community.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you'll go into their customs, and it'll be one specific subset of people who generally seem to be pretty positive and like words. I can't think of.
Yeah, words. Yeah.
I've seen them heap praise and stuff that is obvious.
Yeah, they're supportive towards each other's work.
Which is good, because I can't do that.
It's a very positive community there. Then you go to things like the third-party forum or the movie forum or...
Oh, God, the movie forum.
You know.
Let's just leave it at that.
So how about the movie prom toy?
So, it turns out the dummy Gaim from Watermelon Arms can fit the other arms change stuff.
Fantastic.
Except he can't hold any of the weapons because he doesn't have closing hands. And he has no shoulder articulation.
That doesn't really matter, though.
Or knees.
A mannequin to hold up a set of arms.
Yeah, just for display. See, now you need to get one of these, Mickey.
See?
Well, you know what to get me for my birthday, then.
Well, let's see what you get me for my birthday first, Mickey.
Wow, a little tit for tat?
No, there's no tits in this household.
Damn shame.
What? Oh, yeah, I guess so.
There's a breast reference.
So, those of you who have arms change Baron, do you find him problematic at all?
Well, who here has Baron?
Yeah, so we know who to steal from.
I think you're the only one.
Crap.
So what do you mean by problematic?
I mean, I cannot change his armor without also pulling off his head.
Oh, God.
But it goes back on, right?
Yes, it's on a ball joint.
What do you mean, tear his head off?
I don't intend to tear his head off. It just comes off with the armor.
Okay, does it happen when you pop off the armor without closing it?
Are you taking the helmet off first?
Like, yes.
The helmet's out? Okay. Hmm. That's bad.
But do you close up the armor when you take it off, or do you leave the armor open?
I usually leave it open so it's easier to go around the stuff.
So even open, it still pops off his head?
It does for me, anyway.
I think you need to be gentler with your
shit.
Are
you sure this isn't just the same thing as your Gridman problems, where you just ham-handed it to death?
I haven't ruled that out either.
Okay.
And to be fair, his foot popped up when I was taking him out of the packaging.
Good lord, sir.
You probably just need to
go... Are you Brian Kilby?
Oh, shit!
You probably need to go to your kitchen and get some lard and grease up the head before you remove the armor.
Yes.
That. Or maybe the other thing is maybe you should coat him down with some Dawn to get rid of all the mold release oils, making his parts not stick together.
Oh, Dawn. I thought you said Dawn.
No, Dawn.
Yeah, that's totally different than...
Than Dawn.
Than Dawn.
You could rub Dawn all over it, too. Then might get...
I mean, he might not mind. He is a headmaster, so he might have something to do with this.
You know, he might announced he wants to get his hands on my melon.
Okay. That's good to know.
Gonna have to apologize for that one this week.
No, you're not the one who needs to apologize.
Yeah, really.
And honestly, Paladin, you should take a page from my book and not apologize to Don for anything.
Or anyone to any for anything.
But especially Don. Hi, Don. Yeah, I assume Paladin is hurt just by his association with us when he talks to Don.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all hurt a little by association.
What did you say that I said that about 12-year-old?
Notice how the age keeps going down every time we recall this?
Well,
it's his fault for asking for that to be edited out in the first place. He should have known better.
Okay, so Paladin, and I guess JD, on your AC change figures, so when he closed the armor up and he popped them off, do you find the little helmet piece pops off the little peg it's supposed to be sitting on?
When I take it off? No.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I mean, I've had that problem. I don't know. I guess I've...
It seems like maybe about 75% of the time I've got to cram my pinky up there and reset the helmet back onto the peg.
No, okay. After I close it up? No. Because I
haven't bothered with the little helmet pieces just that much, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I seated it on the peg pretty good before I... Yeah, baby. So on the... I seated it on there fairly well. So I haven't had that problem yet. And I have, I mean... And that's with everything I've worked with, so no.
No. I should get one of those someday.
They're pretty great.
I'll probably be more motivated too after I play with Mickey's collection.
Probably.
Yes.
I kind of get one to get the bikes too.
Oh, I know. Yes. Want bikes.
I admit I haven't felt any temptation for those yet.
I mean, because that's like, that's the ultimate crossover toy right there. Because not only is it actually a lock, just like the other locks, but it's also for the arms change. So
does
it's
it
like,
function like a lock?
Sure.
Does it?
Yeah.
You can just... Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't think you can put it in the driver.
Well, no, it doesn't go in the driver in the show, but...
But it's like... Okay. Yeah, but it's just like the locks. I mean, it has a lock on it.
Is it about the same size, or is it bigger?
I think so.
Huh. And plus, I don't have any bikes at all, so other riders could appropriate it when need be.
I still really want to see how they handle the energy riders in the arms change line.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
I don't know if they even will.
We've seen Shin Zangetsu already, so I have to assume the others are coming.
Yeah, well,
maybe Marika, because, you know, girl.
Yeah, well.
No, Marika can still work, because it's obviously the a Ryugen-style undersuit, so...
Yeah.
Still pink.
Webshop.
Yep.
Either way, it can happen.
Now we all have to wait for Bravo too.
They new Bravo?
He is a premium exclusive.
Oh God.
Yes.
Well, it's just another one of the Bandai web stores. This is the Bandai Premium Shop versus the Tamashii web store.
So basically, we're probably looking at what, about 60 to 70?
Probably.
And most of them are already that on eBay. So I'm guessing at least 100 for Bravo.
They are now, but, you know, wait another couple months. The prices are going to start to come down. It's just a high demand time right now. If you think about what some of the older roleplay toys do, you know, it's basically the same principle. Around the end of the year, around the end of the year, they're really hard to come by, and the prices shoot up on the secondary market. But after a little while, they're back down to about retail.
Mm. Speaking of which, how are prices on Wizard merch doing right now?
God, I can't even imagine.
The better question is there any that you would even want to get on discount?
No, I just want to laugh at how far the prices have dropped.
Ah. Yeah, I have no idea.
And searching Gaim on Mandarake now only brings up a couple of seeds, but I could always be entering that wrong.
Probably. I would bet on that.
I wonder when CS Toys are going to start giving away Wizard Rings.
They could
put one, like 10 in each box for every arms change release.
Buy one Wizard Driver, get the complete set of rings free.
Odd. It's possible.
And that's why they won't be in the hurry to do the complete selection Wizard Driver.
That was the creepiest thing I've ever heard you say.
Wow.
I can see you in a closet with candles strapped to your forehead looking at some kind of weird tentacle pornography doing that noise.
Wow. He's like, no, it was just regular.
Well, on that note, we can probably end the show.
Thank God.
Okay.
Got to hit that right tone before we, you know, call it.
Mm-hmm.
Still 4 years waiting for that.
Call it. Dead
well,
gym.
We either way, we can't give up before the 200th episode.
When is that?
Sometime in March, I forget.
Oh, Christ.
I've got it written down, but
Do you have any plans for that?
Maybe. But I'm not going to tell you yet, because you'll just shoot it down.
Of course! Wait till the week before.
Oh, hopefully I should be around for that.
Well, yeah, you probably should be.
Yeah, my holidays are over. It should be back to normal.
You know, it kind of worked out to not have JD and Ken here last week, being the anniversary show, since it got to be just, you know, the original host plus Gobles.
Yeah, f*** you too.
Yeah, great.
And yeah, that's how I felt at the end of the episode.
That was totally how we planned it, too.
It's not like I was halfway across the country, or all the way across the country or anything.
Yeah, you didn't have access to internet. You were in Vegas.
Yeah, you got a phone.
It was shitty internet, but I had it.
You got a phone.
Oh, yeah. No, I hardly didn't. The damn thing kept cutting out on me the whole weekend.
So it was just like your home internet.
It was like my home internet, except my phone works here. My phone did not work out there, Hurley.
You'd think in Vegas it would.
You have to feed coins into it for it to work.
Apparently AT&T's reception in Vegas is exceptionally shitty.
Huh.
Well, there's a lot of hills and valleys there.
Oh, yeah, I know. I figured there's so much interference.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
So I wonder what cell phone company, you know, rules the airwaves out there.
Verizon, apparently.
Ouch.
Because, like, around here, AT&T's got the best coverage.
They do, and they've gotten a lot better even in the past few years.
Sprint may not have the best coverage, but I'll take my unlimited data any day of the week.
God, I would agree.
Well, no, I do have unlimited data. I just wish I could... I can't modify anything on my plan without losing that, basically.
Like, can you even get a new phone?
Oh, I can get a new phone and carry it over. That's what I did last time.
Well, then you're fine.
Hopefully they'll still let me do that this next time, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Because I will need JD, to get a new phone soon.
JD, is that you?
What?
Making noise.
That means yes.
No, I wasn't making noise.
Somebody's making noise.
Is it Fort Max?
Maybe.
What noise?
Okay, good. Your mic's still working.
It sounds like a keychain.
Not me, nope. Then.
At least for once, it's not Ken and the Pork Rinds.
Is it me Cylonic?
No.
You haven't actually done that all recording session.
I think it was JD.
It wasn't me. I heard the sound.
It is now.
God.
All in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
Maybe it's Neil Kaplan.
You guys in the neck.
Damn it, Mickey. Now he's going to find us.
You spoke his name. You've
invoked
the
name. I'm telling
you,
that's all it takes. Neil Kaplan is the fucking Candyman.
Candyman. Oh, my God.
What, too dated?
Oh.
No. No.
Yeah, so on Twitter, when I was talking about Bioman today, some actor guy followed me. Because
really?
Apparently he played a role named Bioman in some sci-fi thing called Defiance. And apparently he thought I was talking, I was a fan of his work and as Bioman and this terrible sci-fi thing. So he followed me. And I was going to correct him. But then I realized I'd be telling him that, no, I haven't heard of you. I was talking about a 30-year-old show that only aired in Japan.
Yeah. Well, that would be...
I decided that just seemed too cruel to do.
That's an ego killer right there.
You didn't want a yellow for him?
Yeah, I just felt kind of bad, so I'm just going to let him have it.
Except now he's like listening to the show, and he's like, what the...
If he's made it this far into the show, he's already feeling that.
Yeah.
But he just kept listening because he had nothing else to do. He didn't have to work at Bigger Lots until like later.
No, Best Lots.
Best Lots.
Yeah, his shift at Best Lots doesn't start until for a couple hours. So he was like, well, I guess I'll listen to this. Sure wish they were talking about my show, though. It was pretty good. Maybe I'll send them a video. Wonder if they got VHS.
Fort Max does.
Thought we established he wasn't that old.
So we have him encoded for us.
But Fort Max drives a 1992 minivan. It doesn't matter if he's that old.
He really drives a minivan? What the hell?
Fort Max, does it have a cassette player in it?
Yes.
We established this a long
adapter?
Time ago.
Hmm?
Do you use a cassette adapter?
No.
Oh. So you actually find cassettes to record things onto?
I usually don't go driving long enough to really listen to anything.
Fort Max,
he doesn't
you should
really
totally
leave
go...
his apartment that often.
Fort Max, you should totally road trip sometime.
You could drive up and visit JD.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really close.
You could take a toll road.
I wouldn't even tell you how to get here.
Basically, Fort Max, JD's really lonely and would like you to come visit him.
JD,
you could take Fort Max out to the bars and y'all could like get double dates together.
Or just take Fort Max on a date.
Yeah, really. Fort Max is like, hey, I'm like, I don't know if I could get, I could try.
With JD as your wingman, how could you lose?
Hey, you know.
Funny story?
Yeah.
It's a funny story you won't be sharing?
No.
Super Hero Time! 来週もよろしくな!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.